Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 153. In thee, my God and Savior, forevermore the same, my spirit hath rejoicing, for holy is thy name. My soul doth magnify the Lord, sing all in glad accord. Praise him who lifts the lowly, for faithful is his word. I magnify and bless thee, for faithful is thy word. Hymn number 153. Carolyn from Canada will read from the scriptures.
Job. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Luke. Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Galatians. Brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole soul and spirit and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our Father, which art in heaven, our Father, Mother God, all harmonious,
hallowed be thy name,
adorable one,
thy kingdom come,
thy kingdom is come, thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 195. Not what I am, O Lord, but what thou art, that alone can be my soul's true rest. Thy love, not mine, bids fear and doubt depart, and stills the tumult of my troubled breast. Hymn number 195.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church, Independent. We begin our Sunday mornings here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, where we discuss this week's lesson and other topics that need to be covered, and learn how to practice better this wonderful science, Christian science. And we had another really good one this morning, so if you missed it, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can find it on our website, plainfieldcs.com, and you can also find it on our YouTube channel and our Vimeo channel. We have a Sunday school for children that meets at 11 a.m., and that Sunday school is available for children just about anywhere in the world. Many of our students do not live in the area, but they attend via telephone. The Sunday school has its own dedicated teleconference number, which means that if you don't live in the area but have a child of Sunday school age, your child can also attend by telephone. Just call the church. We'll give you the number for the Sunday school, and our teachers will be very happy to welcome your child to our Sunday school. And at all of our services, we have a nursery available for infants and toddlers. So if you do happen to be in the area and attend, you can bring the whole family. We have 21 different websites in different languages. And as a result, many people around the world have found the healing power of Christian Science in their own language. Each of our websites contains only the finest of Christian Science literature, some music, some audios, and everything that we provide on all of our websites is free of charge. You don't have to pay a thing. You don't have to join anything. Freely we have been given, and freely we give. I'd like to point out an article that's featured on our English language website entitled Christian Science Treatment by Mary Baker Eddy. If you've ever wondered what a Christian Science treatment is, this is a good article to read. And we've got a couple of announcements. This coming Thursday, November 27, is Thanksgiving Day. And we will be having our usual annual Thanksgiving service at 11 a.m. East Coast time that morning. So mark your calendars and please join us for a lovely Thanksgiving service this coming Thursday at 11 a.m. And then the following Saturday, November 29, we're going to have another Bible study session. So mark your calendars for that. The Bible study questions are on our website. And that will take place at 10 a.m. Saturday morning. So please join us. It'll be a very rousing, inspired session, I'm sure. Everyone is welcome here. And that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now we will have a reading of a testimony of healing from our textbook, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Shahidat from Maryland.
It's on page 628, Obstinate Stomach Trouble Healed. There is no doubt that by far the greater number come to Christian Science by the way of physical healing. But there are those to whom this does not particularly appeal. In the hope that it may be of benefit to some such, and in gratitude for help received, I submit my own experience. 3 years ago, I knew nothing of Christian Science aside from the knowledge gathered from the daily papers and current literature. When I thought of that subject at all, it was to class Christian Science with various human theories with which I could not be in sympathy, for they seemed to rely upon both good and evil. I had never known of a case of healing, had never read the textbook or heard of the journal or sentinel, but I would sometimes see people going into the Christian Science Church. I was tired of trying to find anything satisfactory in religious belief, for it seemed as if God either could not or would not bring into harmony the terrible conditions existing in human society. I had quit using any form of prayer except the Lord's Prayer, and even then a minute of the words lead us not into temptation, for I longed to know just a little of the why and wherefore of it all. Here is where Christian Science found me. I was thrown in contact with a dear friend of whom I had seen for very little for a year or more. A thoroughly educated woman and a thinker, she told me she had taken some treatments in Christian Science for physical trouble and had become very much interested in the study of science and health with Key to the Scriptures by Mrs. Eddy. She asked me if I'd like to look at the book, and I said I would be glad to. The first chapter, Prayer, appealed to me from the first, and when it came to Mrs. Eddy's spiritual sense of the Lord's Prayer in Science and Health, page 17, my interest was fully aroused. I knew that in a dim way I was learning what it means to pray without ceasing. Very soon, I bought a book of my own, and with the help of our lesson sermons, as given in the quarterly, I began in earnest the study of science and health in connection with the Bible. I stood very much in need of physical healing at this point, having suffered for several years from an obstinate form of stomach trouble. So far as I know, I gave no thought to the benefits I might derive physically from the study. But I did believe this science held the truth of things, and I was so absorbed in getting an understanding of the principle that I thought very little of myself. After about 3 or 4 months study, I realized that the stomach trouble was gone, and with it went other physical troubles which had never returned. This healing was brought about by the earnest, conscientious seeking for the truth as contained in the Bible and interpreted by our leader in our textbook, Science and Health. I have since learned more of the science of healing and have been able in a small way to help others in need. I have also learned that in living and loving is healing realized, and in reflecting divine love, I have the science following. When we think of the pure, loving, and selfish life Mrs. Eddy must have lived in order to become conscious of this truth and give it to us, words are a poor medium through which to express our gratitude, which her followers feel for her. It is best expressed by obediently following her, even as she is following Christ. By H.T., Omaha, Nebraska.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural texts and their correlative passages from our textbook, these comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the word of our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts in their denominational spiritual import and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth, uncontaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. And today's lesson sermon can be found on page 16 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: Soul and Body. The golden text is from Romans. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The responsive reading from Jeremiah. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him, as a shepherd does his flock.
For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he.
Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all.
For I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow.
And I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. I will read from the Bible, Psalms. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Matthew. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed, and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, He asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." 2 Corinthians. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us unto the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Romans. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Florence will now read.
I will read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. Soul or spirit signifies deity and nothing else. There is no finite soul nor spirit. Science reveals soul as God, untouched by sin and death, as the central life and intelligence around which circle harmoniously all things in the systems of mind. Soul changeth not. We are commonly taught that there is a human soul which sins and is spiritually lost, that soul may be lost and yet be immortal. Man is not a material habitation for soul. He is himself spiritual. Soul being spirit is seen in nothing imperfect nor material. Question: what are body and soul? Answer: identity is the reflection of spirit, the reflection in multifarious forms of the living principle love. Soul is the substance, life and intelligence of man, which is individualized, but not in matter. Soul can never reflect anything inferior to spirit. Man is the expression of soul. The Indians caught some glimpses of the underlying reality when they called a certain beautiful lake the smile of the Great Spirit. Separated from man, who expresses soul, spirit would be a non-entity. Man divorced from spirit would lose his entity. But there can be no such division, for man is coexistent with God. Science reveals spirit, soul as not in the body, and not as in man, but as reflected by man. The greater cannot be in the lesser. The belief that the greater can be in the lesser is an error that works ill. This is a leading point in the science of soul, that principle is not in its idea. Spirit soul is not confined in man and is never in matter. We reason imperfectly from effect to cause when we conclude that matter is the effect of spirit, but a priori reasoning shows material existence to be enigmatical.
third gives the true mental idea. We cannot interpret spirit mind through matter. Matter neither sees, hears, nor feels. The belief that God lives in matter is pantheistic. The error, which says that soul is in body, mind is in matter, and good is in evil, must unsay it and cease from such utterances. Else God will continue to be hidden from humanity, and mortals will sin without knowing that they are sinning, will lean on matter instead of spirit, stumble with lameness, drop with drunkenness, consume with disease, all because of their blindness, their false sense concerning God and man. Body is not first and soul last, nor is evil mightier than good. The science of being repudiates self-evident impossibilities, such as the amalgamation of truth and error in cause or effect. Man understands spiritual existence in proportion as his treasures of truth and love are enlarged. Mortals must gravitate Godward. Their affections and aims grow spiritual. They must near the broader interpretations of being and gain some proper sense of the infinite in order that sin and mortality may be put off. This scientific sense of being, forsaking matter for spirit, by no means suggests man's absorption into deity and the loss of his identity, but confers upon man enlarged individuality, a wider sphere of thought and action, a more expansive love, a higher and more permanent peace. The only excuse for entertaining human opinions and rejecting the science of being is our ignorance of spirit, ignorance which yields only to the understanding of divine science, the understanding by which we enter into the kingdom of truth on earth and learn that spirit is infinite and supreme. In divine science, man is sustained by God, the divine principle of being. The earth at God's command brings forth food for man's use. Knowing this, Jesus once said, "Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, presuming not on the prerogative of his creator, but recognizing God, the father and mother of all, as able to feed and clothe man as he doth the lilies." Even though you aver that material senses are indispensable to man's existence or entity, you must change the human concept of life and must at length know yourself spiritually and scientifically. The evidence of the existence of spirit, soul, is palpable only to spiritual sense and is not apparent to the material senses, which cognize only that which is the opposite of spirit. Our master asked, "How can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man?" In other words, how can I heal the body without beginning with so-called mortal mind, which directly controls the body? When disease is once destroyed in this so-called mind, the fear of disease is gone, and therefore the disease is thoroughly cured. Mortal mind is the strong man, which must be held in subjection before its influence upon health and morals can be removed. This error conquered, weak and despoil the strong man of his goods, namely of sin and disease. If we have triumphed sufficiently over the errors of material sense to allow soul to hold the control, we shall loathe sin and rebuke it under every mask. Only in this way can we bless our enemies, though they may not so construe our words. The science of being reveals man as perfect, even as the Father is perfect, because the soul or mind of the spiritual man is God, the divine principle of all being. And because this real man is governed by soul instead of sense, by the law of spirit, not by the so-called laws of matter. Kingdom of Heaven, the reign of harmony in divine science, the realm of unerring, eternal, and omnipotent mind, the atmosphere of spirit where soul is supreme. Dost thou love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul? And with all thy mind? This command includes much, even the surrender of all merely material sensation, affection, and worship. This is the El Dorado of Christianity. It involves the science of life and recognizes only the divine control of spirit, in which soul is our master, and material sense and human will have no place.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 209. The words of this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. O gentle presence, peace and joy and power, O life divine that owns each waiting hour, thou love that guards the nestling's faltering flight, keep thou, my child, on upward wing tonight. Hymn number 209.
Thank you. in heaven. Oh, people, lay up your treasures in hell.
Beware,
nothing in this world can take them away. Oh, listen, people, hear the Master say, come and lay up your treasures in heaven. Oh, people, lay up your treasures in glory.
Your treasures in this world will fade away, but the things of the Lord will last forevermore.
Silver and gold, they put their faith in the wealth they hold, but kingdom will fade and kingdoms fall.
So put your trust in the Lord of all.
Would you lay up
your treasures in heaven? Oh, people,
lay up
your treasures in glory.
For nothing in this world can take them away. Oh, listen, people, hear the Master say, come and lay up
treasures in heaven. Oh, people,
lay up
your treasures in glory.
Your treasures in this world will fade away, but the things of the Lord will last forevermore. 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 Forevermore.
Lay up your treasures in heaven.
Let's now sing hymn number 66. From these thy children gathered in thy name, from hearts made whole, from lips redeemed from woe, thy praise, O Father, shall forever flow. Alleluia, alleluia. Hymn number 66.
Oh,
Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Jeremiah. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Amen.